Gananjanash Lakayat Sakshurun Minitan Manetas Mai Shri Gurave Namaha. So as I mentioned, we're going to be speaking about this wonderful Mahotsava, that means great celebration, that occurred in India about 500 years ago. But first, I want to tell everybody about the personalities that enacted the pastimes during this Mahotsava, during this festival. First of all, there's Lord Nityananda, who you see here. And I wouldn't say second of all, but there's also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared 500 years ago. And so Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are worshipped together because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself in the mood of Radharani, and Lord Nityananda is Balaram. Balaram, incidentally, is the original spiritual master. He's the source of all strength, both spiritual and material. Therefore, the devotees pray to Balaram, because Balaram, as his partial expansion, holds up all the universes. That expansion is known as Seshan Nag. And all the universes, that is, there's billions, trillions, unlimited universes, feel to him like little grains of mustard seeds, or little mustard seeds. In other words, they're inconsequential as far as their weight is concerned. So much strength does he have, as physical strength and spiritual strength. So we pray to him for spiritual strength. So in order to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have to have a lot of spiritual strength. What do I mean by spiritual strength? Not that you have to exercise every day to develop these muscles, but you have to be able to avoid attacks. And we're talking about attacks of things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. And this is pretty much familiar to all of you, I think. Like if someone has something you don't want, it's just, I hate him or her. That's envy, of course. Unless I want it, just like we were speaking about this morning here. When Steve Jobs comes out and presents the latest I thing, right, ego, I, then everybody, iCloud, iPod, iPad, I whatever. It's interesting. How they branded it is quite interesting, because everyone in the material world is interested in the I. So he wouldn't make money if he did UPad, UPod, right? It has to be I. Very intelligent guy. He knows about the material world. Actually, he took prasadam at the Hare Krishna temple. That's why he knows so much when he was young. And that helped him maintain himself when he was going to the university, or else he would have starved to death. So all this prasadam really helped him understand the material world. I and mine. Okay. So we need spiritual strength to resist all these temptations, especially now with all the advertising. You know, you need this, you must have that, you must have those latest blue jeans or whatever they sell in the store nowadays. Especially like when we get to the fall of the year and the kids are going back to school, they have to have the latest fashions, right? They bother their parents, I want the latest fashions. So we need strength to be able to withstand the pushings and pullings of these different things in the senses. So we pray to Balaram or Lord Nityananda for that strength. Now especially, you can imagine how much strength you would need if you were born in Bill Gates' family. Let's take that for example. You were born in a family where there was unlimited wealth. I mean, you don't have to worry about your bank account or your credit card. Imagine that. Wouldn't that be a nectar? I mean, you're just like, you could just spend money all day long as fast as you want. You'd have more money in the bank account when you were finished. So this sort of situation is very alluring. Even in the Christian literature, it says it's difficult for a rich man to go to heaven as it is for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. So it's very, very difficult, especially, I mean, if you have nothing, then it's very easy to be renounced from everything in this world, right? If you have absolutely nothing, no money in your bank account, no friends, then you say, oh, this world is a place of misery. Then, Hare Krishna, Krishna, take me away. It's a simple thing, isn't it? But when you have something, that takes strength. So the next person we're going to talk about is, his name is Raghunath Das Goswami, and he was born in an extremely rich family. They had mountains of gold. His family business was tax collection. In those days, when you were a tax collector, you got to keep a portion of the taxes. Nowadays, they don't. In India, they do. But sorry about that one. But in America, I don't think the tax collectors, the people who work for the INS, they keep a portion. You know, they do an audit and they say, wow, I get 25% of whatever I get. No, they don't get that. But in those days, it was like that. So his father and uncle, they were tax collectors and a very wealthy family. Very, very wealthy family. It's called the Kayastha family. Okay? So, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was basically disinterested in all these things from his very birth. And he wanted to take shelter of spiritual life, especially of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. But in order to do that, he required Balaram's, Lord Nityananda's mercy. So first he approaches Lord Chaitanya. This is Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is known as Gaura Hari. That is golden god. And he's golden because Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Pangas Raparshanam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Sumedasa. That in this day and age, Krishna appears in a non-blackish form. He appears in the golden form because that is the color of his dear most beloved. Like he is thinking so much of Srimati Radharani that he takes on her complexion. Just completely meditating on her and taking on her mood. So Raghunath Das Goswami went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked Lord Chaitanya, how can I get out of this situation? There's so much wealth. I mean, who would ask a question like that? Would any of you ask that question? I don't think so. But he did. He asked that question, how can I get out? And he had been trying to escape from home, but his parents wouldn't let him escape from home. Plus, they gave him this extremely gorgeous trophy wife. So that, a beautiful wife. So, you know, just to keep him at home. And so what happened is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, just stay at home and act as an ordinary businessman, but in your heart, remember Krishna. He said, he gave the example of just to act like a lady who has a paramour. A paramour is, yeah, I think you can understand what that means. So a paramour is a boyfriend. So she's married, and she has a boyfriend. So she has to act as not to arouse suspicion, right? Very, very carefully. She has to erase all the messages on her mobile phone. Well, in those days, they didn't have mobile phones. They were on the leaves. She had to throw away all the leaves with the written messages from her boyfriends. So Lord Chaitanya said, just act like that. Krishna will give you his mercy. The reason Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't extricate him from his situation at that particular juncture was because he had not yet, that is, Raghunath Das had not yet approached Lord Nityananda, so that we were waiting for that time. In the meantime, Raghunath Das's father and uncle made a mistake in their tax collection. They kept too much out of the whole collection. They were supposed to give like 3/4. Instead, they gave a half. And so that was discovered. The Mohammedan, what's called Chaudhry, discovered that, and he went to arrest, this Mohammedan governor went to arrest Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle, that's Haranya and Govardhan were their names. And so they knew they were going to be arrested, they had spies, and they ran away. And Raghunath Das was there, and so this governor arrested Raghunath Das. And this governor was trying to get information from Raghunath Das where his father and uncle were. So Raghunath Das was a very intelligent businessman. He actually he said, fate a deal. He said, actually, you let me out and I'll give you some of the money. Now, that's very intelligent. And that's how things work. So, and he also praised the saint, not the saint, the governor first. He said, oh, you're like a saint. Oh, how could you keep your nephew like me, who's a village relationship, in jail? You're a living saint. You'll get me out of jail. And somehow or other, he convinced the governor to let him out of jail. So they let him out of jail. He was like a first-class good businessman, and he remained at home. But he kept trying to escape almost every other day to join the spiritual movement. And his parents had stationed guards around the house. You know, so many guards were there around the house. And every time he tried to escape, they just grabbed him. Or they followed him all the time. They were bodyguards, but they were meant to keep him from escaping rather than to protect him. And so his mother said, you should bind him with ropes. You know, just tie him down like Damodar. And his father said, that's not going to do any good. You know, we already gave him a trophy wife. You know, beautiful wife, and that's you know, heavier attachment. His wife is like an angel. He has the opulences of Indra. So what else can you do? One, we cannot keep one at home who has become a spiritual madman. Now, let me explain. Let me unpack that statement. That when one becomes spiritually conscious, it's not that one wants to run away from home. Don't worry, you ladies. But it's that one feels such ecstasies in the heart. These are called bhavas. That things in this world lose their significance or attachment. One's attachment diminishes because there's so much happiness. By serving Krishna Chan, one develops their internal life. There's a whole internal life because the external life is temporary. We were speaking about this morning, that even if something happens to our sense of sight and our sense of hearing, we lose contact with the whole world, isn't it? Can you imagine if something happened, we had some brain damage, and we lose our sight, lose our hearing? That's it. You can't experience the world anymore. I mean, you can touch, but I mean, you're not Helen Keller. You know, you weren't brought up like that. So it's very temporary. But the internal life is eternal, and not only eternal in the sense of giving you refuge within this lifetime, but it's eternal in the sense that from lifetime to lifetime, you actually continue it. You don't forget it. Krishna says in the Gita, Svalpam apyasya dharma shutrayate mahatobaya. There's no loss or diminution from one lifetime to another. So, after some time, Raghunath Das decided to take shelter of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda was in the village of Panihati. And he was, Raghunath Das wanted to obtain an interview with him. So Lord Nityananda was effulgent as hundreds and hundreds and thousands of suns. And Raghunath Das, upon seeing him, was so astonished. He didn't want to go near. He was a very humble personality. And he offered obeisances from a distant place. But Lord Nityananda recognized him, and he grabbed him, and he brought him to his seating place, which was right by the bank of the Ganges, a stone on the bank of the Ganges, and he placed his feet on Raghunath Das's head. When he placed his feet on Raghunath Das's head, he said, you are a thief, you know, humorously, and now I've captured you, and I'm going to give you a punishment, and your punishment is that you should feed all of my associates. And Lord Nityananda didn't have a few associates. He had literally thousands, at least tens of thousands of associates around him. I want you to make a festival of chipped rice and yogurt. And you should make 400 large pots, soak the rice in hot milk, and then divide the rice. And we'll see this festival in a second. This is Lord Nityananda giving him instruction. See the merciful Lord Nityananda. And then he said, you should divide this rice. And one half of the rice should be with yogurt, sugar, and bananas, and the other half should be in condensed milk, a champakala, which is a special sweet banana, sugar, ghee, and camphor. And so Lord Nityananda, he sat on a raised platform along with his devotees and other important people, and everyone was given two pots, and it was so crowded that there wasn't room on the shore, so some of the people had to sit in the water to eat. You see the brahmanas there at the bottom? They're sitting in the water. They weren't complaining. And Lord Chaitanya is described here, was brought in meditation by Lord Nityananda. Now, very few people could see Lord Chaitanya. And from each pot, Lord Nityananda took some chip rice and pushed it into Lord Chaitanya's mouth. And Lord Chaitanya did the same thing with Lord Nityananda. Some people could see it, some people could not. And while this was going on, Lord Nityananda cried out, "Everyone should eat chanting the name of Lord Hari." So they were chanting and ecstasy and taking this wonderful Mahaprasadam that was sponsored by Raghunath Das Goswami, or Raghunath Das at that time. He wasn't a Goswami. So, in other words, there's great benefit for sponsoring the Sunday feast. I thought we'd slip that advertisement in there. That Raghunath Das got the full mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he wanted to become renounced. But if one, even if one wants wealth, if one gets the full mercy of Krishna, if they still want wealth, Krishna will give them wealth. So don't worry. It's not that all of you will become renounced. You get the fruits of your desires. As it said, akama sarva kama moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether you're full of desires, free of desires, or desirous of liberation, you should worship Krishna enthusiastically. So don't worry. We're not asking, I don't want to instill fear in people's hearts and think that, you know, they're going to become like Raghunath Das Goswami. I mean, I would like to, but I know the rest of you have some fears about that. So so as they were distributing the food, there's another devotee named Raghava Pandit who brought a lot of food. And Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda said, "Tonight I will eat in your place. And I belong to a community of coward boys. And we love picnics." So the Lord likes picnics. Sometimes we have the stereotype or understanding about God and his devotees, and you just think they're sitting in the clouds, like some Hindi movie where you have all these clouds up there and the demigods, you know, the clouds. So they're sitting there in the clouds on some chairs, and the most they can do is watch some dancing girls from time to time. But God has all the qualities that we have, and more so. Wherever, whatever we have comes from God. We were even speaking this morning about how amongst great devotees, like Hanuman and his associates, there was even intoxication. I'm not recommending intoxication, but there was a story when they were looking for Sita Devi in Lanka, and Hanuman found Sita Devi, of course, and he flew back and told all the monkeys, and they all flew back in a formation, in a V formation, through the air. And they, before they came back to Kishkinda, they landed in Madhuvan. Madhuvan means the place of the bee or the honey forest. And so they all got drunk on honey. And they were drinking honey, and they were beating up the guards and everything like that, and enjoying themselves rolling on the ground. Of course, they were celebrating some spiritual ecstasy, some spiritual happening, which was finding Sita Devi. So spiritual life is not dry. But, of course, we do have our four regulative principles. No intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating. And if you want to get intoxicated, you can drink honey on Balaram's appearance day. Okay? That's allowed. And we used to do that when I was a youngster. We used to have honey contests on Balaram's appearance day because Balaram likes honey. And I would win because I'd pour the honey on the ground. They wouldn't watch me do it. Lord Chaitanya agreed. Lord Nityananda agreed to go to Raghava Pandit's house that night, and Lord Nityananda made Raghava Pandit sit down and eat prasadam. The next thing happened with the remembering the coward boys. All the Vaishnavas were chanting, and the shopkeepers came to sell all their goods too, and Das bought all the food from the shopkeepers and distributed it to everybody. When all the Vaishnavas were chanting the holy names Hari, Hari, and eating, they all remembered how Krishna and Balaram ate with their companions, the coward boys, on the banks of the Jamuna. So this is the place where this Panihati festival actually occurred. This Panihati, there's a plaque there and a little platform right outside of there. So after that, Raghunath Das ate and distributed the remnants to his associates, and that night they all gathered in Raghava Pandit's house for chanting and dancing. After resting, Lord Nityananda went to Raghava Pandit's house and began congregational chanting of the holy names. All the devotees danced, and Lord Chaitanya observed this, but the devotees only could not see, but only Lord Nityananda could see this. And then at dinner, Lord Chaitanya came and sat down again, and it's described that Radharani cooked in the kitchen of Raghava Pandit. Raghava Pandit was the gopi Dhanishta, a great associate of Srimati Radharani. So Raghunath Das Goswami, or Raghunath Das, was given prasad later on, and he was told, if you eat the remnants of Lord Nityananda, you'll be freed from all of your entanglements. So he became very happy at that point. The next morning, Raghunath Das prayed to Lord Nityananda to get shelter at Lord Chaitanya's feet, and he stated, Heno Nitai Vinevai Radhakrishna Poite Nai, that without your mercy, that's Bengali, that without your mercy, Lord Nityananda, no one can get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. You understand? That's from Narottama Das Thakur. Heno Nitai Vinevai Radhakrishna Poite Nai. No one will understand Radha and Krishna until they get Lord Nityananda's mercy. So Lord Nityananda here praised the opulence of Raghunath Das as a way of glorifying Lord Chaitanya's mercy. In other words, he wasn't praising money. He wasn't saying, it's so great you have so much money. He said, it's amazing you have so much opulence and yet you're completely disinterested in this. Similarly, we see when Prabhupada went to India with his dancing white elephants, that means us. Prabhupada would sometimes praise the opulence that we had before we joined the Krishna Conscious Movement, so the people in India could see that we were not just like bums on the street and doing this because that's all we had in our lives. You know, sometimes there's that misunderstanding. There was one movie in the 1960s, was it Hare Krishna, Hare Ram or something? Something like that, that sort of depicted the devotees as just like hippies and somehow or other, you know, they couldn't get a square meal. Smoking. You know, it was crazy. But so Prabhupada, when he would give a lecture and there were some Western devotees there, he would say, you know, this devotee's father is the president of Seagram's. There was one devotee who was president of Seagram's. That's a liquor company, in case you didn't know. And, you know, sometimes when we're in India, I'll also speak like that about my background. I'll say, well, before I joined the movement, we had a boat, an airplane, which is true, all those things. And people go, wow, if you had all those things and joined, and you gave them up. It's like that story that told about Sanatan Goswami and the touchstone. I think you've heard that story. That there was a Brahmin, he wanted a touchstone. A touchstone is a stone that can turn anything into gold. I mean, if I had it, you'd all be in trouble. I'd just be going around tapping all of you on the head. A lot of gold statues. So this Brahmin was told by Lord Shiva, you should go to Sanatana Goswami. He went to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami gave him the touchstone, which happened to be in the garbage. And so the Brahmana started turning everything to gold. You know, wow, ecstatic. And the Brahmana thought for a second, huh, why was it in the garbage? And he went to Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami told him, if you want something much more valuable, which I think you do, you got to throw this touchstone into the Jamuna. And so the Brahmana was having a conflict in his mind after that. He just like, his hand was just like spastic, you know. You know, like, oh, Jamuna? Oh, no, mine, Jamuna, no. Now finally he threw it in the Jamuna and he got the holy names. That's a story that Srila Prabhupada told. So Raghunath Das was very wealthy like that, and he became only interested in Krishna Seva. So Lord Nityananda asked all the Vaishnavas to bless Raghunath Das, and he said to Raghunath Das that Lord Chaitanya has come, because of my meditation, Lord Nityananda is speaking now, Lord Chaitanya has come just to bless you, and you will soon join Lord Chaitanya and be under the care of a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya named Swarup Damodar Goswami. So Raghunath Das went home, and he stayed right outside his house in something called the Durga Mandap. So he was always planning how to escape after that encounter with Lord Nityananda. Became even more ecstatic. So what happened is that one night, his spiritual master, Yadananda Acharya, came to his home, and he said, one of my other disciples didn't show up to do the arti. And he was all worried about that. And so Raghunath Das said, don't worry, I'll get him. I'll get him. You don't have to run around town like that looking for this person. I will take care of everything. So instead of taking care of everything, of course, the spiritual master was in on this escape. You know, it's not that he disobeyed the order of the spiritual master. So without taking care or doing anything, he just, because it was the end of the night, all the guards happened to fall asleep, like Kamsa's guards fell asleep when Vasudeva left the prison. And he traveled 30 miles the first night on the way to Jagannath Puri. He stayed in a cow shed, and in 12 days, he reached Jagannath Puri. All right. That's nice to have a musical accompaniment just at the right time. He reached Jagannath Puri, and he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaura Hari. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am so happy to see you. He took the indirect path, not the main road, so his father's guards wouldn't find him. He said, Krishna has delivered you from this life, and this materialistic life, and he placed Raghunath Das under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And so for the next 5 days, Raghunath Das ate the Mahaprasadam, that is the Prasadam remnants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But on the sixth day, he started begging at the Singhadwara gate. And Lord Chaitanya gave him some instructions in this regard. He said, do not expect honor, because he asked for instructions about renunciation or being completely devoted to Krishna. He said, don't expect honor, but offer all respects to others. This is like the verse in the Shikshashtaka, Amanina Manadena. Always chant the holy name of Krishna. And this instruction is useful for all of us. Always chant the holy name of Krishna. Within your mind, render service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So you have to have an internal life where this is going on. This is what a Vaishnava is, or how a Vaishnava thinks. And then he gave Raghunath Das Goswami Gunjamala. Gunjamala is little berries that come from Vrindavan, a place in Braj, and a Govardhan Shila. Govardhan Shila, we have one on the altar. And this Govardhan Shila you see here has the thumbprint of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on it. That's in, which temple is that in? Does anyone remember? Which temple is that in Vrindavan? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what? Does anyone remember? It's in one of the temples in Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly put this to his head, smell the Shila, and cry. The Shila was washed, abhishek, by the tears of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Raghunath Das Goswami understood that by being given this, he was being given shelter at Govardhan Hill and at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he proceeded to worship these Shilas every day. There he is worshiping the Shila. Performing the puja and offering sometimes sweets to the Shila. And he lived very, very simply. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave him more instructions. He said, don't speak village talk. That's called Gramikata. Don't eat palatable foods. And referring to those who are sannyasis. All the sannyasis have this particular instruction. Don't dress opulently. Always chant Hare Krishna. And in your mind, serve Radha and Krishna. Then after that, Raghunath Das's parents, they sent some servants. And for 2 years, he utilized those servants that were sent by his parents to serve Lord Chaitanya. Then he stopped. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, why did you stop inviting me and having these servants serve me? And Raghunath Das understood that by accepting this particular service from people who are materialistic, the mind would become wicked. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that too. Then Raghunath Das, after that point, even became more renounced. Instead of begging for the prasad outside of the Jagannath temple, he went to the free prasad booth because he understood if you're begging, then you're actually discriminating. No, he's a nice person, he's not a nice person. But if you just go to the free prasad booth, you're just getting what you need. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised him, saying, in this way, your mind will be equal. After some time, Raghunath Das even stopped doing that. And he took as his prasadam, as described here, the rice. It's described that Lord Jagannath's prasad is sold by the shopkeepers, and that which is not sold decomposes after 2 or 3 days. All the decomposed food is thrown before the cows from Kailanga at the Singha Dwara gate. Because of its rotten odor, even the cows can't eat it. At night, Raghunath Das would collect that decomposed rice, bring it home, and wash it with ample water. Then he ate the hard inner portion of the rice with salt. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this, he went there the next day and spoke as follows. What nice things are you eating? Why don't you give anything to me? Saying this, he forcibly took a morsel of this rice and began to eat. And Swarup Damodar Goswami grabbed his hand and said, no, this is not food fit for you. But Raghunath Das was exhibiting such extreme renunciation, that he was appreciating this was Mahaprasadam and getting all of his energy from the Mahaprasadam and ecstasy from eating Krishna's Mahaprasadam. After some time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Raghunath Das Goswami to Vrindavan or Braj. And Raghunath Das Goswami was sent there to write many Vaishnava literatures associated with the other Goswamis of Vrindavan, like Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal, Bhatta Goswami. And he stayed mainly on the banks of the Radhakund. Radhakund is the most sacred place anywhere. This Radhakund was originally dug out by Srimati Radharani right after Krishna dug out Shyamakund. And Shyamakund and Radhakund were dug out, there's a whole story behind that, because Krishna had killed this big demon named the Arishtashura demon, the bull demon. And Radharani and the gopis said, we're not going near you because you've killed a bull. This is the most sinful thing. And Krishna, at that point, created this kund, calling all the holy places to it. That place is known as Shyamakund. And Krishna went for a bath, and he said, now I'm all cleansed, so you can associate with me. The gopis still weren't convinced by this. And Krishna said to them, come on, take a bath in my kund, too. And the gopis said, your kund is contaminated. Because you took a bath in it, and you were contaminated by all the sins, especially killing the bull. We're going to make our own kund. And so they started to dig out their own kund right by the hoof prints that Arishtashura made. And after it was dug out, there was a big hole in the ground. A big, big, giant hole. And Krishna said, yeah, you need some water there. And the gopi said, Krishna said, you can use my water. And the gopi said, no, your water's contaminated. We're going to get our own water. And eventually, all the holy places personified appeared before the gopis and begged to fill her kund because they were already in Krishna's kund. And she finally agreed, and the waters overflowed from Krishna's kund, that is Shyamakund, to Radhakund. And that's how Radhakund was formed, and it's said in the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, that Radhakund is as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani. So Raghunath Das Goswami resided here, and he was in charge of the excavation of Radhakund and the establishment of different holy places around Radhakund. One interesting thing is they were digging out Shyamakund, and he had a dream one night as they were digging it out, because he just wanted to make the kund a nice square kund like Radhakund is. And in that dream, Yudhisthira Maharaj appeared to him and said to him, "We, the five Pandavas, are living as trees on the banks of this Radhakund. So please don't cut us down." On banks of Shyamakund, sorry. "So please don't cut us down." And so what happened is that when they were making the kund, or digging out the kund further, they cut it at irregular places to avoid cutting down the kund. So the shape of Shyamakund is very, very unusual. It's not a square. It goes in different directions. And Raghunath Das Goswami resided there, composing many different literatures like Manakshiksha and other literatures that inspire the devotees in attaining the topmost platform of devotional service. He is the acharya of the platform called Prayojana Gyan. Prayojana means achieving perfection. There are three stages in spiritual life. One is called Sambandha, the other one's Avideya, the other one's Prayojana. Sambandha means basically understanding who you are, who God is, what this world is, what your relationship with God is, all those nice things. Avideya means acting in that understanding to reconnect. As they say, religion means reconnect, yoga means connect, to connect again with God, to practice that spiritual path so you can connect. And then Prayojana means to realize that. So there's three different personalities in charge of these three aspects of spiritual life. Of course, Rupa Goswami, he is in charge of Avideya, and Sanatan Goswami, he is in charge of Sambandha, the first aspect. So there's different deities too. And so Raghunath Das Goswami excavated Radhakund, and here's a very nice picture of him, and he lived for many years at Radhakund, and those who go to Radhakund can see his samadhi. That's one of the first things we do when we go to Radhakund. We circumambulate his samadhi and pay respects and pray to him for pure devotional service. So this is this Panihati story. So any questions or comments? That's the story. There's more about Raghunath Das Goswami. Yes.
So how did Raghunath Das Goswami, after feeding all those people, did that take care of his pile of gold? So that
No.
How did he get out to become the renunciate?
He still had a lot more gold. That was nothing. That was pocket change for him. That was just like a spare credit card or something like that. He became renounced because in his heart he was disinterested in the external world. The pound, shilling, and pence stuff. He was simply interested in meditating on the pastimes of Krishna. And that internal love for Krishna and his service to Krishna drew him to the point of taking shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely. Now, just to avoid people getting frightened by this whole story, I think I should elaborate a little bit more on it, that everybody has a different service for Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami's service was to write, excavate Radhakund, and show the perfect example of a sannyasi. I'm a sannyasi, so I have to follow in his example. So, I'm frightened. No. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story. When I joined the movement, I wasn't a sannyasi. I was a brahmachari. Very humble, nice person. So, and then I saw some renounced people in the movement who ate very little and slept very little, and I got scared. And I said, I do not want to become spiritually advanced. If this is what it means. But it's a natural process. It's a natural process. You don't have to worry about that. But everybody has a different service. There's different varnas in different ashrams. I am a sannyasi, so my business is to follow in Raghunath Das's footsteps, not to that extreme, of course, but to preach Krishna consciousness and to renounce personal interests. Whereas someone in the household order of life, their duty is different. And so they will please Krishna or advance spiritually by following their particular ashram or varna. Does everyone understand? There's four ashrams. There's the brahmachari life. Brahmachari is a servant. He's considered the legs of the varnashram system. And then there's the grahastha. And he's considered the stomach because he maintains, because we need a good stomach. We try to build a big temple here across the street. We need a lot of good grahasthas for that. So we don't want to discourage, we don't want you all taking sannyas. We'd be in trouble. We want everyone to remain married and make a lot of money. No, but that's your duty. That's how you please Krishna. Like Lord Chaitanya had the devotees who were married, and he would bless their children, be very, very happy, and happy that they were wealthy, happy that they were doing things. Like there was one Pundarik Vidyaniti, who was the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and he was so wealthy that his bed was unimaginably, let's say, opulent. You know, silk sheets, four-poster bed, all, you know, pillows all around, everything like that. And he was one of the greatest devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're not saying that external renunciation is important. It's just that people in different situations have different duties or different examples, like Raghunath Das Goswami. So those who are in the household order of life, their business is to support the rest of society. It's not that the sannyasi should get a job and support the rest of society. The householder should support the rest of society, okay? So this varnashram system. And then also you have the varnas. That's the ashrams I just described. But the varnas are Brahmins, who gajan yajan patan patan dana pratigraha, who teach and instruct and learn and study the shastra, and they exist by charity. Then the kshatriyas, who have different the managers of society, the soldiers, etc. Then you have the Vaishyas, the businessmen, and finally the Shudras, the workers. So everybody has a place in society. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says anyone who does his duty in any particular situation, there's no duty that's lower or higher, he can go, param gatin, he can approach the supreme destination. Yanti param gatin, he can go back to Godhead. So don't think you have to become like Raghunath Das Goswami. Follow your path. Like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, before the battle of Kurukshetra, he wanted to become like Raghunath Das Goswami. Why? Does anyone know why? Because he didn't want to fight. He didn't want to do his duty. And Lord Krishna said, no, do not become like Raghunath Das Goswami. He didn't use those words. He said, don't do that, because by your nature, your duty is different. By your nature, you know, you're a fighter, you're a manager, you're a kshatriya. So do your duty, and by doing your duty within society, according to your psychophysical nature, we're not talking about the caste system now, it's something different. We're talking about people serving Krishna according to their psychophysical nature. A businessman serves Krishna by doing business. A sannyasi serves Krishna by traveling and preaching. A worker serves Krishna by working, just like menial work. And a Brahmin serves Krishna by preaching, studying, writing, all those other things like that. So we have different services, and everyone is equal. Sannyasi is not better than anyone else. A man is not better than a woman, and a woman is not better than a man. How about that?
The teaching is that
one becomes so absorbed in his internal life that even though he's doing everything perfectly on the outside, hopefully, or as perfectly as he can, that his real life is inside. That's the point. The real life is inside, because that life continues life after life. That's what I said in the beginning. Continues. It doesn't end. Whether it's the life we have now, it's temporary. We have to do it, yeah. If you're a businessman, you have to do your business. But you don't take the stock market with you. And you can't take... Where's my iPad? Anyway, you can't take your iPhone with your app on it. You know, what is it? The stock market app, Dow Jones Industrial Average, the exchange rates. You can't take that with you in the spiritual world. I mean, I've never seen a child born with an iPhone in his hand. Maybe a silver spoon, but not an iPhone. So that's the point, that we should put our wealth, our attention, no matter what we're doing externally, in a place where we won't lose it. Isn't that intelligent? Like if you put in a bank that you know is going bankrupt and it's not governed, it's not guaranteed by the FDIC or something like that, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, then you're just going to lose it all, right? You put your money in a safe place, right? I mean, you should, hopefully, put your money in a safe place. So the same thing with our attention. And the way we do that is whatever we do, whatever we eat, as Krishna says in the Gita, we should do as an offering to him. But a practical thing is to always be hearing about Krishna. Since this is Kali Yuga, the methodology for spiritual life is not renunciation. In fact, Lord Chaitanya forbade many people to renounce things. There was one Brahmin in South India, his name was Vasudev, he wanted to join Lord Chaitanya and renounce. And Lord Chaitanya said, go back home and never talk like that again. Stay where you are and shrutigatam tanvan manobir. Just always chant and hear about Krishna. So we should always be engaged in hearing about Krishna. And we can utilize modern technology to help us in that regard. Like MP3 players, and books are modern technology too. Someone may say, oh, MP3 players, that's Maya. But here's a book. The book is technology. It didn't exist, with a printing press more than 500 years ago. When Lord Chaitanya was there, they had to handwrite the books. So there's technology. Everything's technology. Your clothes are technology. Your glasses are technology. If you say, I want to renounce technology, well, if I did that, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between a purva and you. You know, just we'd be in trouble. So you can't renounce. I mean, you shouldn't renounce technology. Purva, you really changed. So we use things in Krishna's service, and we should take help to engage in hearing and chanting as much as possible throughout our lives. Just hearing, you know, hearing about Krishna. Srimata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyanta Kusto Yabhadrani Virunauti Saritsitam. Okay? So anybody else want to ask a question? Yeah. Yunadi. Louder. It depends on your level of advancement. If you're very advanced, you can use anything in Krishna's service. Like Haridas Thakur, he was able to convince a prostitute to become a pure devotee. But I don't know if any of us should try that.
We have to be careful.
Yeah, we have to be careful.
It's like putting down prostitutes too, because
No, I mean, prostitutes are great personalities if they surrender to Krishna, all right?
No, I mean, I guess I was thinking...
But let's say...
To be careful.
Wait, cool it. Please. So, we're not putting down prostitutes. We're saying someone who makes their business to allure other people in a sensual sense, okay? We won't use that word, prostitute. Someone who makes their business alluring people sensually. You know, you have to say things in a politically correct language nowadays.
Sometimes.
Yeah, PC language. So someone who makes their business doing those things, and they come up to you and they say, hello, young man. Or, a man, hello, young lady. Whatever it is, I want to be equal. And so, you may have to head for the hills rather than trying to preach to the person, because it may be a situation where there's danger for you. So we each have to recognize what are our weak points and how strong we are in spiritual life. I mean, for example, if someone has a problem with drinking, I'm not saying they're a drunkard. They have an issue with drinking. If someone has an issue with drinking, you probably don't want to preach to people in bars. Right?
They just don't remember.
Anyway, that's beyond my comprehension. So, you probably don't want to preach to people in bars because that's your weak point. So, according to who you are and your level of realization, then you can engage certain things in Krishna's service. But ultimately, a pure devotee can engage everything in Krishna's service. Everything. Like Prabhupada even said, talking to people who have an issue with drinking, Prabhupada said, I'm not going to use the word drunkard, because that's too judgmental. So, people have an issue with drinking, Prabhupada said, then what can they do? Between each sip, they can chant, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! So Prabhupada was so expert he could even engage someone who was a drunkard. Sorry about that. All right. So on that happy note, yes, for one more question.
What is your secret to keeping, like you talk about the internal aspect, always keeping Krishna in the forefront and remembering him at the same time dealing with, especially as a householder going out?
Well, I think every spare minute when we're not doing anything else, we should be hearing about Krishna. Even if we, you know, obviously people can't be doing a full sadhana in their homes every morning when they have to work a job, go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. But every spare minute, we have so many spare minutes during the day where there's dead space. Like driving a car. Don't talk on the cell phone while you're driving. It's extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. So instead, you put on some nice Krishna katha. And then you hear, you know, while you're driving, you're thinking, Hanuman, oh Hanuman, Jai, Hanuman, Ki Jai. You know, something practical. So you're listening, so your whole, and before you go to sleep at night, instead of reading the New York Times, because you don't read the New York Times, instead of reading, you know, just or watching the 11 o'clock news, or the Late Late Show. They still have that Late Late Show? I'm sure they do. Instead of watching the Late Late Show, you know, you listen to some Krishna katha, or you read, and you do that with your children too. If you have children, you read them something. I remember that one of the favorite things, my favorite activities when I was young, was going to sleep and have my mother or my grandmother read me a story when I was going to sleep. Anyone have that happen when they were going to sleep? Their grandmother, mother read them stories? Yeah. Is that nice? And it's a real sweet exchange. So when your child's taking rest, you read them a story about Hanuman. Why am I mentioning Hanuman so much? Anyway. So you read them a story, a spiritual story. And then the child, even Krishna. Krishna, this was 5,000 years ago, Krishna said to his mother, tell me a story. And she said, once upon a time, there was this Ram. And his wife was kidnapped by this Ravana. And when Krishna got so much into the story, he stood up on the bed, made believe he had a bow, drew it back, and said, kill that Ravana. Sorry, kill. K-I-L-L. Sorry about the violence. You know, I really apologize for that. No. Teach Ravana a lesson.
Say it out right.
You know, Krishna didn't get up with a lotus flower and say, so he got up with his bow and arrow on his bed. And he would say, kill that Ravana, 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 kill him. And then Mother Yashoda, his mother, was saying, what's wrong with my child? He's having a breakdown. So even Krishna got bedtime stories before he went to bed. Even Krishna liked hearing Krishna katha. Right? And Lord Chaitanya, he would read the Bhagavatam so much that his tears washed away the writing on the Bhagavatam. So his whole edition or volume of the Bhagavatam was illegible. because Lord Chaitanya was crying each time he read the Bhagavatam. So there's so much nectar. It's real nectar. I know we use that word a lot. It's real happiness, ecstasy, samadhi, whatever you want to call it, bliss in Krishna Katha. Krishna's pastime is so wonderful, isn't it? And Lord Ram, you have Krishna, you got Ram, you got Narasimha. There's something for everybody, right? If you like fighting, sorry. If you like fighting, sorry about that. Anyway, we'll talk about it later. But if you like fighting, then Krishna has pastimes of fighting, heroism, or romance. Krishna has pastimes of romance, even teasing his girlfriend, Radharani. There's something for everybody. I mean, the Ramayana is such a romantic novel, too. Lord Rama, he's looking at the forest after Sita was kidnapped, and everything he sees reminds him of Sita Devi. He sees the flowers in the trees, he sees the water in the brook, and he's just reminding, and he's starting to cry, feeling separation. So there's romance there. Whatever you like, it's there. It'll stay with you forever, and you'll make you happy. In the end of this life, you go back to home, back to Godhead. I mean, it's such a simple thing. You don't have to do anything spectacular. You don't have to renounce like Raghunath Das Goswami. Stani stita shruti katam tan vamana obhi. Just stay where you are and just engage in hearing and chanting. We have Prabhupada's books there with so much nectar, right? Isn't it? There's so much. And if you can't read, there's audio books. So all the books have actually been, spoken. So you can listen to them. I mean, you have so much facility, right? Use your faculties because you have so much facility. There's two words for you. Okay, I think we have to end now because it's time for Shana. And next week we'll be starting an hour later because during the summer I understand it's very difficult for people to come so early. And because you're out during the day and you've eaten lunch a little later. So we'll be starting an hour late, which means 5 o'clock with the hour tea and 5:30 with the class. I won't be here next Sunday because I'm going to be traveling for the next month or so in Europe and in India. I'm going to Govardhan and Radhakund. Hari Bol. Okay. All glories to His Vangre, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.